with a bunch of women. And so I would do a lot of watch batteries during that. I'd never really worked anywhere before. I was a really young guy, and so I went in and I said, I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'd like a job. I need a job over Christmas. And they said, well, all we've got is the jewelry department. I said, well, I'll learn how to do my job. I'll get along with everybody, and I won't steal from you. Can't ask for more than that. And they hired me on the spot. So I did a lot of watch batteries and sold a lot of earrings all Christmas long. It was a trip. In the midst of this, I got mononucleosis. And so I'm going back and forth, working that job, working the church job. Robin's working her job. And so I'm setting this all up, not so you'll feel sorry for me, but so you'll understand that when I went to the final of this class, I had studied everything else, and I knew that it was going to be an essay final. And I love essay finals because you can, I don't know how to say this in the pulpit, you can kind of, yeah, you can, it starts with some initials your way through and demonstrate. And so we went on through that. And so I took all the other finals, and I got to the New Testament exam. I'm good. I'm not feeling good, exhausted, sick. I sit down to take the test, and it's one of those subjective fill-in-the-blank type deals. The guy had never done this before, and I'm sitting down. And have you ever had that feeling where you're just like, I am completely unprepared for this moment? You ever had that? Where you've had a test, or the boss calls you in, or you're supposed to have done something. I still, literally, I'm not kidding you, I still have nightmares of not being ready for a test, or not being ready, not having my paper done. Maybe that's because I usually did them at 3:30 a.m. the day they were due and stuff like that. But, I mean, I literally do. I have these nightmares that I haven't finished my degree, even though I did it back in the last century, literally. So, but that just feeling that I'm unprepared for this moment. You want to know what I made on that test? Yeah, an F minus. I made a 6. 0, 6, like under 10, like single digits, 6. I made a C in the class. I actually went and apologized to the guy for doing. He says, it's all right, I never give anybody below a C, because the guy that he told me this like 2 years ago, saw me. He says, I never give anybody thing below a C, because one time I gave a kid an F, and his dad was on the board of trustees, and they ended up firing me, so I don't ever do that anymore. That's why he's at Baylor now. So anyway, smart guy. I'm not saying it, but it really is true. It was a whole political thing. Anyway, so life, the brutal life of religious education and all that. But I was unprepared for that. When we go and we're living life and we're encountering things that feel like huge things, like giants to us, if we're not prepared for that moment, that's when we experience, you know, the face plant of life. Anybody experience the face plant? Because they weren't ready for what was going to happen to them. We're going to start here. Some of you are like, oh man, you know, he's going to do the David and Goliath. And if you've ever been in the military at all, some chaplain has given you the David and Goliath story, right? It's just a standard deal. So they give you that. So some of you are like, hey, I know this story, cool. So you're all prepared for this. But we're actually going to start in the middle of the story and work our way back. Or if you've ever been on a really, really bad basketball or football team, you've heard the David and Goliath story, right? It's like, the coach is like, this is all I've got. I got to pull this one out, you know, and hope against hope that we're going to win. So, all right. So you're going to have trouble in this world. Jesus promised this. In this world, you're going to have trouble. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So when you experience really difficult things, really challenging things, really painful things, really hurtful things, the giants in your life, how do you slay the giant? How do you kill the giant? How do you experience success? How did David experience success that day in the valley of Elah, where he killed off the giant. And then my favorite part of the story, he cut off his head and he was dead. How did he win? How did he do that? Let's read here. 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. I love his attitude. First of all, as you're looking here, David was a teenager, somewhere between 15 and 20 years old. He was a teenager, so he was a young guy. It's amazing, if you'll read the scriptures, how many teenagers are used by God in extraordinary ways. All of the disciples except for Peter, were teenagers. They were young guys. We know that because Peter and Jesus had to pay the temple tax. You don't have to pay the temple tax unless you're 20 or older, okay? So here they are, young guys. Mary, the mother of Jesus, a teenager. Over and over in scriptures, you'll see teenagers doing extraordinary things. And while I'm here, let me just throw a commercial out for our Student Revolution student ministry. It's not a youth group. We don't do youth groups. We're preparing young men and women to be adults, and we're asking them to do significant tasks and important things. And we have expectations of responsibility for these individuals because we don't look at them like kids. We look at them like student revolutionaries ready to take on the world, ready to change the world, not in the future only, but also right now. And that is who you're developing, and that is our goal and our mission and our work that we do. So if you want a kid, don't send them to the student revolution thing. But if you want an adult and you're raising an adult, this is the place that you want them to go, because we ask of them to do great things and expect great things from them. That was a good commercial. All right. I love his attitude, and this is the attitude of some of our students too. Here he is in front of a giant. While I'm there, 1 Samuel 17, 4 through 8. A giant nearly 10 feet tall stepped out from the Philistine line into the open, Goliath from Gath. He was not even a Philistine, he was a mercenary. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks. He had a bronze helmet on his head, was dressed in armor, 126 pounds of it. That's quite a rucksack. He wore bronze shin guards, carried a bronze sword. His spear alone was like a fence rail. The spear tip alone weighed over 15 pounds. The tip. His shield bearer walked ahead of him. This is the giant that he's looking at, that he is going into battle against. He sees him. He hears what he's saying. He's a teenager, as we call it now. Teenager wasn't even a term until 1950. But he was a teenager. He walks into battle, and he's prepared, and he says this. Don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. No big deal. I'll go fight him. Saul replied, Saul, a great, great warrior. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. So he's probably about my age or so. But David persisted. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. This is what the guy does as just a matter of occupation. I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do this to the pagan Philistine too. For he has defied the armies of the living God. He's good and mad. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and bear will rescue me from the Philistine. Who rescued him from the lions and the bears? The Lord who rescued me. Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead, he said. And may the Lord be with you. And that's exactly how he said. May the Lord be with you. Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet, and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped a sword over it. Took a step or two to see what it was like, for he'd never worn such things before. I can't go in these, he protested to Saul. I'm not used to them. So David took them off again. So he goes unarmored into battle. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream, put them in his shepherd's bag. Then armed only with his shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Sounds unprepared, but he is prepared. You know, there's only one way to develop courage, and that's the first takeaway we want to have. You develop courage. To prepare to slay the giants in your life, the worries, the difficulties, the hard things you need to do, the hard conversations you have to do, the forgiveness that you need to give, the healing that you need to experience, to walk through that, to get through that, you need to develop courage. You know, there's only one way to develop courage. Do courageous stuff. Do courageous things. I love to watch any kind of sports. I love to watch baseball in season, postseason. I like to watch basketball. I like to watch football. I like to watch hockey. I even don't mind watching lacrosse. Golf is not a sport. I had to throw that in. You know, when you can ride a buggy to the next one, you're not. But the pros, they walk, so I'll give them a little bit of grace. But when I watch these things, I really enjoy them. And I'll be honest, I'm pretty knowledgeable about most of what I see. So I can yell at the refs and I can yell at the players, and it's relatively intelligent screaming at them, if there is such a thing. So I do that. But you know what I don't do? I don't get on the field, and I don't take hits, and I don't get on, go to the plate and take swings. I'm watching, I'm gaining knowledge, but I'm not discovering, learning, or experiencing anything about actually doing it. And when we go to battle, when we win the victory, and when we live from victory, it is because we have done courageous things. We experience greater courage by doing courageous stuff. You don't do it by watching. You do it by doing courageous stuff. Now, you can train and prepare, but when it comes to battle, guys, you've experienced this. The only way to get more courage is to go and be in a situation where courage is required. It's not that fear is abandoned, it's that things are done in spite of those fears. Many of us have many difficult things that we have to deal with. Our tough situations prepare us for the tougher situations. David did not run away from the lions and the bears. He did courageous things, and so it prepared him to the point where he looked at a giant, literally, in all of his armor, and he said, "Don't worry about that guy. I got this." Because he had prepared himself with the lions and the bears and the predators trying to take on his sheep. Now, for me, I'm thinking there's got to be some kind of expectation, I would think, about sheep loss. You ever thought about sheep loss? No, you don't. You just think about yourself. You don't think about sheep loss. No, I'm kidding. Sheep loss. But if I'm in charge of the sheep, there's got to be an expectation from dad or whoever's managing the sheep overall that I'm going to lose one or two every once in a while. Any business has loss, profit loss. I used to work at Walmart, again, in the jewelry department because I'd had experience, so that's the job I got the next time. And they would call it shrinkage, and I've watched too much Seinfeld, and so that's it kind of evokes a different image. But as I'm going, it's just in my head, guys. But they call it shrinkage, and I'm like, what's shrinkage? This is a weird term. Basically, what they're saying is their profit margins are shrunk because there are losses that the employees themselves do. So the employees cut corners, or the employees take home a pen, or the employees take home stuff, or the employees steal stuff, or the employees are negligent towards stuff, and the profit margins are diminished because they just because of, they call it shrinkage. And it's a weird thing. I would think there's some of that in a shepherd kind of situation. But David, he kind of wasn't standing for it. I mean, if a lion or bear comes along for me, I'm not going to attack it with my club, smack it down, and if it turns on me, grab it by its mouth and beat it to death. But this is what David has done. So his attitude, when he encountered a difficulty, he had such a passion and love for his sheep that he was like, I ain't having this. And he would take on the lion and the bear. This was his spirit, and this was his resilience, and this was his attitude. So when we have things that come upon us, we have a choice to make. Are we going to pull back from it, shrink back from it, and just let ourselves take a loss? Or are we going to say, I ain't having this. I'm going to fight this fight. And when I fight this fight courageously, I will be able to deal with tougher and more difficult things. David was full of this kind of things. A little bit later on, Saul offers his daughter, who was like super hot apparently, and offers his daughter to anybody who will go kill like 100 Philistines. And so he just goes out and he does it. Instead, he does a couple of hundred, and he brings back their foreskins in a bag. I'm not kidding you, man. Throws them down before Saul's feet, and he says, we're doing gross stuff today, aren't we? This is your Bible, friends. Read it. He throws it down in front of him, had to give his daughter to this guy. This was his attitude. I will take it on. He would look at a mountain and say, I got to climb it. Why? Because it's there. I just got to do it. And this was his attitude. Any challenge that he had come to him, he saw it as an opportunity. He took him on. You want to know how to kill a giant? You want to know how to slay a giant in your life? Take on a lion and take on a bear. Take on the smaller things and you're prepared for the greater things. Some of our challenges aren't lions and bears out in the middle of the pasture, but they're things like forgiveness. You want to be prepared when a giant comes along. You want to be prepared when something difficult comes along. You want to be prepared in your life. Forgive someone that's wronged you. When you go to your job and you are tempted to cut corners, do it halfway, not give 100%, not give your best, in that moment when nobody looks, you need to understand that's a lion and a bear. And you, if you expect to be entrusted with greater things, you take on the lion and the bear. Maybe you have a friend who wants to lead you into temptation constantly, or maybe a number of friends. You got to turn them down. And listen, that's a courageous thing. I have the same thing. I want people to like me. I want people to accept me. But listen, sometimes, guys, you got to stand and say, that's bad for me. And in so doing, they're upset and they get angry. You're saying, I'm bad for you. Kinda. And you have to take a stand. I'm living my life differently than you guys are living your life differently because I want different results. It's a lion. It's a bear. You're having a difficult time with that person that in your relationship. You need to have a conversation with them. Not fun. Not a good experience. Not fun to say, hey, let's go have coffee, or hey, let's have lunch. Let's talk this through. I think we've got things going. It's a lion and it's a bear. Your marriage, you want to make a commitment to this person that you're married to. Sometimes, I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes you don't always agree on everything. Sometimes you have to drop your pride and sit down and actually talk and listen to the person. You know, not on your phone talk, like literally eyeball to eyeball. Some of you are like, I can't afford to tithe. That's a difficult thing for me. I get it. I understand. I stay broke too. Can't afford to do it. It's a lion and a bear. Is God going to entrust to you greater things? Demonstrate how you can win the victory in smaller things. You hear what I'm saying? Lions and bears. You fight them. While we're at it, there's a baptism brochure in your program. We're going to do a baptism next week. Some of you have come to faith in Christ, and you have not done the baptism thing. Oh, I have to be in front of people and blah, blah, whatever your crazy excuse is. Lion and a bear. Maybe it's your giant. Regardless, take that step. Email me, churchbythefort@gmail.com. I'm ready for this. I'm ready to take the step. You develop courage. Next thing you do is to develop competence. Develop competence. You notice that David goes in, and he's doing something he's never done before, and that is kill a giant. There's first time for everything, I suppose. He's going to kill a giant, but he's not unprepared. A slinger, just like a sniper, was an actual position in the military back then. You had a lot of hand-to-hand combat, but there were slingers, and there were people, there were archers and different kinds of things, and they would have a skill of slinging, and he developed this skill by killing predators or chunking rocks at predators that would endanger his sheep. This is a literal, actual skill. Now, when you're watching sheep, imagine it. Imagine, I'm watching sheep. I'm watching lots and lots of sheep. What do sheep do? They eat grass and take poops, and I mean, basically not, or, and some of them wander off and you have to go get them. But not very often, right? You've got a lot of time on your hands, but you still have to be alert at all times. You ever had one of that? You ever stand sentry somewhere? You're on duty. You have to stay awake. You have to be ready and alert for any kind of thing that will happen. But most of the time, nothing happens, right? So you just sit there, and it's boring, 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 boring. But he, in that time, he would sit around, sling them, hit a tree. Sling him, hit a tree, prepared himself over and over with the time that he had, preparing himself for when that moment, when a predator came along or when some endangerment to his flock came along, that he was ready. And then, in fact, when he was anointed king, he was actually out watching the sheep by himself. Now, he was the youngest guy, but he was so skilled in fighting off predators, either that or they didn't care much whether he died or not, because he was out there by himself, and it was pretty odd to be out there by yourself. All the other sons were called into the house, and he was left just to watch the sheep by himself, and they entrusted him with that, which is crazy. He was prepared. He had competence. He had developed his skills, and he excelled in his giftedness, and he was passionate about it. When we are given a gift, and each one of you has a gift to give to the world, to give to the kingdom, to give to your church, you have a gift to give to others, and God has put that in you. If you don't know what that is, next week you can start signing up for our spiritual gifts class that we're going to offer here in about a month. And you can experience what that is and start to understand it. But when you talk about developing competence and developing your gifts, you got to know what it is. And then you got to use it and you got to develop it. That means, guys, and I do mean guys in the male sense, that sometimes you have to read like real words and stuff. You like got to study and you got to read and you got to prepare and you got to learn. And you got to dig in. And every one of us does this for our job. If I got up here and just kind of wung it, that's not a word, but I like it. If I just got up here and kind of wung it, nobody'd show up. They said, that's a nice guy, but that guy doesn't know literally what he's talking about. He's not prepared to talk to us, to share with us, to do things. I got to study. If you want to be ready when temptation comes, if you want to be ready when a test comes, You prepare and you train now. You military guys should know that more than anybody. I train, I prepare. I really love the, you guys have done the hand grenade out of the little pit thing, you know what I'm talking about? I just love it when, you know, you get the wet behind the ears guy and he like doesn't quite do it and then everybody's got to like jump and, you know, but you learn and they have the pit for a reason, for you to have a little grace and everybody around you for you to screw up and do things. I took ROTC in college and we had to belay off of this gigantic, gigantic platform down. And thank God for the belay because I would have broken my neck going down that rope. I mean, I slipped off and I fell and the guy just held me up. And I figured out from that point on, ROTC ain't for me. You know, it was not my deal. But it was required deals. I made a C in that class too. So, but you prepare and you train. Listen, if you want to be ready for temptation, if you want to be ready for tests, if you want to be ready for challenges, if you want to be ready to slay the giant when he comes along, or a lion or a bear, what do? You dig into this every day. You train and you prepare so that when the test comes, you're not like me at the seminary and go, I don't know what I'm doing or what to do. And you never know when that challenge is going to come to you. You don't know when the lions or the bears are going to come along. David didn't know when he went into battle against the giant what he was going to face. He was actually just going to take food to his brothers. He takes food to his brothers and he sees his giant defying God. And he said, I ain't having that. And he goes into battle. But he was prepared for it because of what he did every single day of his life. If you will prepare in scriptures, if you will know the Lord, if you will pray passionately, if you will get your orders from here, you'll be prepared. And you won't think, oh man, God didn't speak to me in a big way today. Big whoopee-doo. Does your wife or husband speak to you in a big way every day? If you do, more power to you, brother. But I'm telling you, the way it is for the rest of these fine folks is it doesn't happen every day. You hear what I'm saying? I'm really getting gross today. Oh, my. You want to get close to God? Get close to God now. You want to be prepared for a faith challenge? Get close to God now. Be in the scriptures every day. Persistent preparation will intersect with opportunity. The consistent preparation on a daily, weekly basis. And part of that is what you're doing right now. Congratulations. Pat yourself on the back. You're doing a great thing right now by being prepared right now, getting yourself prepared and doing it in community with other people that you can lock arms with. It's very important. And if you consistently attend and you consistently are in scriptures and you're consistently with God's people and you're consistently pursuing the things that God wants you to do, when the big test comes, you will be prepared for it. And opportunity is going to intersect with your persistent preparation. The final thing I'm going to say, and that's this. Turn your trust from you. Turn to the great I Am. When David went out into the field, he says, the Lord delivered the lions and the bears into my hands. The Lord will deliver this giant into my hands. He say, you come at me with swords and you come at me with chairs. I come at you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. And when that test comes, you can draw upon the strength of the Lord Almighty, because He's been right with you, just like Russ talked about last week. He's been right with you all the time. And you've already been talking to Him. And it's not like you have to beg God, Lord, help me in this desperate situation. You just have to turn to Him and say, Lord, here we go. For this moment, I am prepared. You are with me. Nothing can stand against you. You are the great I am. You are the God Almighty. I put my trust in you right now in this situation. I'm ready for this because I know you. I'm your child, and I am prepared for what you're asking me to do or what I'm encountering right now. I'm ready because I have been preparing myself for this moment, for this experience, for days, for weeks, perhaps for years. And when it comes to the giant doesn't look so big after all, because the opportunity has intersected itself with your persistent preparation. When we look at scriptures, often we'll look, and God is asking us to do things that we can't do. God is asking us to believe things that the culture doesn't believe. We've got to stand against them. But in that moment, and when we're in scriptures, we go to it and say, God, I trust you. I don't trust my own wisdom. I don't trust my own so-called street smarts. I don't trust what I think is right or even what I've been taught. You say it in the scriptures, so I trust you. I put my faith in you. See, that's a courageous step. So when I put my faith and my trust in what God says, in opposition to what the world sometimes says, I'm taking a courage step. I'm developing competence. I'm developing and I'm preparing myself. I'm persistently preparing myself, and opportunities instead of challenges come my way. I look at giants, and the way David looked at it, he didn't say, wow, there's a giant. This is going to be a challenge. He looked at it and said, don't worry about this. I come in the name of the Lord God Almighty. I'm prepared for this. I look at this giant and I say, I've got it because God's got me. I trust in the great I am. We turn from our own thinking and our own ways of thoughts and we turn to Christ. We no longer trust in us, but we trust in the great I am. And when we do that, not only are all things possible, but we can do all things through Him, through the one who strengthens us, no matter what we're facing. Do you receive it? All right, let's pray today. If you're a person who has not committed your life to Jesus, you are not a follower of His, I want to encourage you right now to turn from you and turn to Christ. It's a big courage step to step out and say, all right, I don't want to live my life my way. I'll live my life the way that God teaches me. It's like jumping off a cliff, it feels like, to some of us. And it is. It's a big faith step. And we'll find that we're caught in the arms of Christ who died for us on the cross. So I want to give you an opportunity to pray right now and receive Him. Dear Father, something like this, you pray. Dear Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again from the dead. I ask you to forgive me of my sins right now. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Savior and my Lord. As best I know, right now, I surrender myself and my life to you. I transfer my trust from me, and I transfer my faith and my trust into you. Send me your Holy Spirit to live in me and to live with me and to guide me. And I thank you, Lord, for saving me as you promised in your word. In Jesus' name. Now, believer, I'll pray for you. Dear Father, we have challenges that we see, but we want to look at them instead as opportunities for you to use us. And the giants that are ahead of us, the lions and the bears that are in our lives, we put our faith in you. You're the great I am. You're the one that we put our trust in. So we ask, Lord, now that as we enter this week, that we would put our complete trust in who you are, believing in who you are, knowing who you are, experiencing who you are, and knowing that you, Jesus, are on the right hand of the Father, and you rule, and you reign, in this world as you do in heaven. And when we trust in you, we live not only in victory, we live from victory because of what you've done and what you're going to do in and through us. So we take it on. We look at it, and instead of saying, "Oh, Lord, what am I going to do?" we say, "God, you are with me. Enemy, you come at me with all of your weapons, with all of your distractions, all the things that you want to hurt me with. But I come at you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. I have already won the victory because I trust in you, Jesus, and you have won the victory. I am in myself nothing. I have no power in and of my own strength, but I trust in you. So today, Lord, we put our strength in you. We put our joy in you. You put your strength in us, and you live in and you live through us. By the Holy Spirit, we receive it by faith and by trust and by belief in you. You are the one. You're the great I am. We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're on